Okay, well, I want to get right into the word. Thank you guys so much. Sounding good up there, Kelly. Got a new drummer today. Got a new singer. And we missed the others, but we're glad for you. Brother Lindell just knows how to shift them around and make it all work. Thank you, Pastor Lindell. Would you give them one more? God bless you. Tell them how much you love them. Amen. Well, today, you guys, I'm going to probably make some of you mad or confused or get a few notes about, Pastor, that's not right. Well, that's all right. You can do that, too. But it'll only be to those probably that don't have an understanding of the difference between the Old Covenant and the New, or the Old Testament and the New Testament. But there's a huge difference. There are two, those are two different things. I'm just going to ask you now, because Hebrews might be a little bit hard for you to find, I hope not, but go over to the book of Hebrews and just wait for me there. We'll get there in a few minutes. It's toward the back of the New Testament, of course, but let's just go over there and wait in chapter 8. Now, don't start reading yet, because I want to lay a little bit of foundation before we get there. It seems kind of dark up here. Is there a reason for that? Is it darker up here than usual, Brother Rick? Am I missing a light or something? Okay. Well, as many of you know, Jerry Lee Lewis wrote a song years ago, an old country song called There's a Whole Lot of Shaking Going On. And that's for sure about today. There's a lot of shaking going on. And but I want to say to you today, we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The only thing that cannot be shaken is the kingdom of God. Now, my friends live out, pastor friends live out in Shafter, and they live right around almond groves. And they said every time they shake those trees, Brandon, you and Lacey probably know about the tree shaking, that their allergies just go wild. But they have to shake those trees, and all the dust and everything falls with it, but the nuts fall, the fruit of the tree falls. And so that's a good thing. But today I just simply want to call this message, but how about now? How about now? And I'll tell you, this shaking, you see, what's all of that about? Is this just all about these demonic forces? Is it all about the Antichrist spirit and the spirit of Baal and the spirit of Jezebel? No, all of that is going on right now. And you're saying, did God cause these earthquakes and this famine and this pestilence and this COVID-19? Did he cause that? No, he didn't cause it. But he warned us that these things would happen at the end of time. So it's not a shock to us in the church, the body of Christ. We knew it would come. Now, it might be a little shocking that we're the generation that lives here to see most of it. We're seeing a lot. But you see, it really isn't about all those evil spirits and all the false teaching and all that's going on. But it is about the harvest. It's all about the harvest. Somebody say, it's about the harvest. Okay, don't forget that, because that's really what it's about. Now, the other day on the news, and I'm sure you've heard it. You don't just hear it on the news. You hear it in speaking. In fact, I heard it over at the mall one day in Visalia. Somebody, I heard them recently saying that's where this message will come from today, is this. Oh, we're all going to hell in a handbasket. And I said, not me. I don't believe the United States is going to hell in a handbasket. Do you? I don't believe America's going to hell in a handbasket. Why? Because of us. Now, judgment is on the earth, but there's also a remnant on the earth. That's you and me. That's the body of Christ. That's the church around the world. Lanny Wolf was one of my favorite writers and singers in the 60s and 70s and 80s for the church. Wonderful preacher of the gospel, but a songwriter that just wrote some of the greatest songs, like he wrote, "You Better Get Right or Get Left." And he always had a play on words. He wrote about Jesus. There's no other name like Jesus. He wrote the song, Lynn, that I love to hear you sing. There's just something about my praise he loves. I mean, he wrote stuff like, no one else could write. And I was thinking of a song, "You Better Get Right or Get Left." And that's really the story of today. This shaking, this whole lot of shaking going on, this judgment or blessing, whichever one we want to do. But there sure are a lot of confusing messages going on today. There's a lot of false teachers and false prophets and people having dreams. And a lot of it's good, and a lot of it's just plain old crazy. And there's a lot of things that just get, starts out right and ends in the flesh. I'd rather start out in the flesh and end in the spirit, wouldn't you? Than start in the spirit, wound up in the flesh. But just recently, in September, the date was 9/27 and 28. You would see it on your calendar. The Jewish people celebrated Yom Kippur. And they celebrate that. It's the Day of Atonement. And in the old, under the old covenant, the old law, the priest would go into the temple once a year, and he would go into the holiest place, and he would take the blood of an animal, and he would sprinkle it on the mercy seat for the sins of the people. And they would be forgiven, and all the cleanse of the year would be washed. And that's what the people of Israel were celebrating on Yom Kippur this year and every year. And yet every single year, you'll find the churches, you'll find people on TV and evangelicals, and you will see preachers all around the world celebrating it with them. What? You celebrate a priest going in the temple one time a year to get their sins forgiven? Are you kidding me? I'm not going to celebrate that with them. I do celebrate the Day of Atonement, when Jesus died on the cross. And he took our sins once and for all, and he cleansed us, and he washed us, and he took our sins away, and we could go any time of the day, any day we want to, and get forgiveness. If you did something today, you can be forgiven right now. See, that's what it's all about, and this new covenant, this better way. And as the priest went in with the blood of the animal, Jesus had to go a bit farther and shed his own blood. It wasn't the blood of an animal, it was his. So we celebrate Easter for an entire week, which still isn't enough, but it's a good thing that we celebrate for a week, where they celebrate, you know, September 27, 28. But I want you to go to the book of Hebrews with me. I am going to start right here. You won't argue with this. In fact, you'll be real happy with this. But let us just read. And I pray that you brought your Bible, or you're reading online, or you're looking above. But please read this, because if you don't, you're going to get bored with a bunch of reading unless you're a good listener. Okay, Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 6. We'll start at verse 6. This is talking about the new priestly service. When we say the new, of course, that was 2,000 years ago. When Jesus came, Jesus was really born, he really died, he was really buried, he really rose from the dead, he really went away, and he is really coming back. Amen? Really coming home to get us. All right, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. But now, somebody say, but now. See, remember in the beginning, I asked you, but what about now? We're going to talk about now, where we are. Verse 6, but now, he, Jesus, that's a capital H, he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better, what? Better promises. A better covenant, better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. If the old law had been perfect, then there wouldn't be a need for this new covenant with better promises. Verse 8. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day which I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant. And I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Now none of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest. And I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and to their sins and their lawless deeds. Look, I will remember no more. Somebody should have shouted right there. I will remember their sins no more. In that, he says, a new covenant. A new. What about the new? A new covenant. He has made the first obsolete. That means it's old-fashioned now. It's out of place. It's out of date. He made the first, or the law, obsolete. So what is now obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. See, that was 2,000 years ago when Jesus had just left. This word, you know, is now talking about the new covenant. That law is old, ready to vanish away. Now, I'm telling you, we could stop here and get so deep in this that you wouldn't even get dinner tonight. Because there is so much to be said. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. Go with me there, Kathy, chapter 9, verse 1. Then indeed even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and earthly sanctuary. For tabernacle was prepared, the first part, in which was a lampstand, the table, and a showbread, which is called a sanctuary in Solomon's temple and in Moses' tabernacle. They had the first phase. They had the outer court where they took the animal and sacrificed it on the altar there and drained its blood and sacrificed the animal. And then they had the laver there, and then you went into the second part here. The Bible just read that to you. Then there's the second part where there's a lampstand and a table of showbread, which is called a sanctuary. And then behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the table of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat of all these things. We cannot now speak in detail. He says, so big, I can't even talk in detail about it right now. I'm going to need the rest of this word. Well, when we were in Israel, we saw a mock copy of this Moses' tabernacle. And this week, I put some of the pictures online on Facebook. I should have probably had them showing to you this morning. But again, this is where this came from, and those priests would go into the outer court and to sacrifice the animal, and then they'd move on in, and then they would have to keep showbread on the table to be an offering to the Lord, and then the men would have to keep oil going into the lamps to keep the fire lit, because they would work by the light of the censers there. And so he said it was all right there. So there was work going on, the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant went into the Holy of Holies, and there were these two angels. Dee, come here with me for a minute. Rini, come here with Dee, and let me show you how the Ark of the Covenant looked. A little different than these girls today, but come on. All right, I want you to face each other and just put your wings. You know how the angels looked over the covenant. Just put your hands, put them together. You know, they touched each other. Back up a little bit. I need some room for God to be able to be on this mercy seat. Okay, so these angels, these were the cherubims, and they sat on top of this golden box, the Ark of the Covenant. You guys got to put your heads down, because their heads were always looking down, because inside that box was the rod of Aaron that had blossomed, and then there was the Ten Commandments that the people rebelled against, and they rebelled against Moses and Aaron, and you had the bowl of manna where some of them fell over that. They were rebellious. They wanted more than the bowl of manna. They wanted meat. You know what happened when they got meat? They all died. They said they ate so much meat. God said, you want quail? I'll send quail. And it said they ate so much that even the meat began to, it made them sick. It even began to come out their nose. Horrible, ugly thing. Anyway, so you see their hands up. These angels had their wings touching, and their wings had been beaten. This was one piece, beaten with a hammer, big hammers or whatever tools they had then. There wasn't two pieces here. This was all one piece. And it had been beaten into this order. Over here you had justice, the justice of God. Over here you had righteousness of God. And they came together. And what do you do when you're standing between justice, the judgment of God, and the righteousness of God? Well, you come here to the mercy seat. Because the Bible says that God spoke to them from the mercy seat. And so we get mercy when we come here to the mercy seat, when we go to the cross, when we believe on what Jesus said, you have a better covenant, you have a better promise. Then we come into the mercy where the mercy is. Thank you, ladies. Let me tell you something about the beating of the wings. They were praising God. This was a worship to God. And you and I, we have gone through stuff in our lives. And man, you've had the beating with a hammer. How many of you have ever felt like you've had the hammer blow? And you've said, God, what is this? And you've been beaten and beaten. And you sometimes feel like you've been beaten into praise. Oh, God, what is this? And you praise your way out. Many books written over the power of praise and praise your way through and praise your way out. Well, there's truth to that. But I want to talk to you about now how we better get it right now, church. Because this trumpet that is sounding today in 2020, it better make a certain sound. It can't be giving us a bunch of gibberish. You better have knowledge on what your Bible says, and you better be reading it. Read your Bible and talk to the Lord, okay? We've got to make a certain sound, and we've got to get it right. Now, before we go where we are going right now, I want to say this. One of my pastors taught me years ago, he said, Paulette, when you read your Bible, read it in these three ways. You read it in a dispensational sense, which means you read it for that time. The people of Israel walked around the walls seven times. They shouted seven times. There's different things that happen like that for that time. Though some people, by faith, we've done that. We've walked around the house or whatever seven times. So he says, you'll read it in a dispensational sense, or some of the things that's going to happen in the book of Revelation. That's dispensational. That will be for that time. It's not right now. And then he says, you'll read it in a literal sense. It just flat means what it says. When it says, thou shalt not commit adultery, it just means don't do that. And then you'll read it in a spiritual sense. When we serve the bread and the juice, we have communion. We do that in a spiritual sense, and we understand in the Word that when Jesus was serving at his table communion, we know that he was spiritually speaking when he said, eat my body and drink my blood. Amen? Thank God that was not literal. It was spiritual. But it all comes together when we read the Bible. That's how we must read it. Now I want to take you into the place where you might have a little argument with me. I don't intend to do that, but then again, I probably do if I'm bringing it. So let's go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. One of the most famous scriptures that you and I have ever heard in this decade, especially in this year. In this year of 2020, and I can't believe it's almost over. Somebody say, thank God. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, what does verse 14 say? You could probably say it by memory. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Okay. But I want you to see what was happening before that. Now, yesterday afternoon, I was headed another direction. With this message, not this message, but another message yesterday. I thought I had it on Friday evening. But yesterday afternoon, I began to think about what the person said to me. The United States is going to hell in a handbasket. And there were some things that just didn't add up, and the shaking going on. And I was having a casual conversation with somebody the other day. Can't remember who it was, but we were talking about this very verse. And that person quoted this verse to me, and of course, we've had how many prayer meetings, and I rested those prayer meetings on this very verse. I said, if my people, folks, I would say he's talking to us. And everybody's talking about this verse. Franklin Graham went up to the Capitol building, over 50,000 people there, and this was their key verse. Oh, if we humble ourselves and pray and repent, turn from our wicked ways, he will hear and heal our land. And the other day I was talking with this person, and they brought this verse up, and I said, well, my goodness, when are we going to get forgiven? Man, we've said that so many times, I would think he should have heard by now. Amen? Come on. Don't act like you don't know what I'm saying. You thought the same thing. My God, we've done that over and over and over. And then I began to look yesterday, and I'm thinking of all these things. And I want you, Kathy, to go to chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles. Verse 4, listen to what was happening before. This is talking about Solomon's temple, okay? They've just got the temple all built, and now they're going in. Chapter 7, verse 4, and then the king and all the people offered sacrifices. They offered, remember that, offered sacrifices before the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 bulls, 120,000 sheep, so the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests attended to their service, and the Levites with their instruments. And so we'll just leave that alone. Verse 7, furthermore, Solomon consecrated the middle of the court that was in front of the house of the Lord, and there he offered burnt offerings. And so we'll leave that. All right, go down to verse 12. And then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I've heard your prayer, Solomon, and I've chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Now, when I shut up the heavens and there's no rain and command the locusts to devour the land and send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name. And if you go back and read the sixth chapter, you would see that Solomon prayed these very deliberate prayers. He said, God, if we have a pestilence come through and we don't have any rain for years, and God, if this happens and if that happens, Lord, and if locusts come and devour our land, Lord, if we humble ourselves and pray and seek your face, will you hear us, Lord, and turn from our wicked ways? Will you come and heal our land? And God is simply answering him. He said, I will. I've heard you. I'm going to do that for you. Now, they offered up all the sacrifices. You notice the kings offered sacrifice. Solomon offered sacrifice. The priests, it says they were doing their work in the temple. Now, church, look at me. That was under the old law. That was the law under the law of Moses. That was, we're going to have to read that dispensationally, I'm afraid, to some of your disappointment. See, I've been quoting that all my life. I know, me too. You say, Pastor, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm not. I'm just saying we've got a better covenant and a better promise. Amen? Y'all better hear me this morning. Better covenant, better promises. He said, I will establish, verse 18, and I will establish the throne of your kingdom because of David. See, David was Solomon's dad, and God said he's going to be a king on his throne, will be forever blessed. And so here you have old covenant law and old covenant promises. Right there it is, folks. But how about now? How about now? See, that blessing and cursing was tied to the land. You go over to Deuteronomy 28, and I love Deuteronomy 28. Man, I love the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. And he said, if you do this, I'll do that. But if you don't, you're going to be under curse. Now, I love Jonathan Cahn, and I love all the prophets today. And a lot of people saying a lot of things. One great man of God said that America's under a curse. Can I tell you today, we are not. We are not under a curse today. No, we're not under a curse because of what Jesus did. Jesus hung on the tree, and there therefore is no curse. I'm like, come on, let's not get crazy here. Just because we've been going through some stuff. Jonathan Kahn, I love Jonathan Kahn, taught us a lot of things. But he said, America's walking right down the way of Israel, and we're going to be cursed with everything Israel was. I thought, no, we're not. Woo, it's quiet in this house. Is America under judgment? Yeah, right now. Is America going to be cursed? No. See, that was then. This is now. Let me go a bit farther before I get into trouble. But that blessing and cursing was all tied to the land. If you do this, I'll heal your land. Mm-hmm. So are you saying we don't need to humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways? Are you serious? Of course we do. Of course we do. But we've got a high priest that'll take us from that darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Right now, you don't have to wait a whole year to go there. No. We have a perfect lamb. Okay, let's go a bit farther now. Over to chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and the more perfect tabernacle. Look at that. A more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Not with the blood of bulls, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies the purifying of the flesh. Look at this. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, offer himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works? Look at verse 15. For this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, and those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Oh, God. Verse 16, for there is a testament. There must be also the necessity of the death of a testator. That's Jesus. I want you to look down at verse 26. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, but now, at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, not of a goat or a calf or a bull, but of his own self. Look at verse 28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Church's thing is so full. See, Jesus came to fulfill the law of Moses. All of that. He said, I will become the curse. I will do it myself with my own blood. I will offer my own body as a sacrifice. I will be that perfect, spotless lamb. Now see, their old covenant and the old law was full of rules and regulations. We still have guidelines to live by. You'll look on the wall, we've got 8 or 10 things there that we want you to do to keep us safe in the house. Wear a mask when you come in, wear a mask when you go out. You're talking close to somebody, put your mask on. Don't touch the little ones. Stay. Don't touch anybody, in fact. No hugging, no touching. Offerings go to the box. We're not touching anything. 6 feet, distance. So we're doing everything we know to do. Is it easy? No, it hasn't been easy, but we're doing it. We're doing it to keep our church doors open. But you see, that was all about rules and things. So there are some things as the body of Christ that if we keep, we're going to be much better off. But the new covenant is really about a message. The new covenant is about Jesus who came, he died, he rose from the dead, he went away, and he's coming back. That's the gospel in a nutshell. See, that's the gospel we preach. So this covenant, this better covenant, this better testament, this new testament, this new covenant is about a message, and it's about us winning the lost. It's about us sharing this message. It's about us taking what we've been through and sharing it with somebody else. See, you may have been through a divorce. I never went through one, so I couldn't minister to that person like you did. Or the things you've been through. I went through losing my husband and daughter. Now I'll be able to minister to somebody that's lost two people probably a little differently than you would if you lost your grandpa. So we all have different things, but he said you share that message because of me that you've made it this far. Amen? So, Kathy, I want you to turn to 1 Peter 2:9, please. Go to 1 Peter 2:9. I'm going to read it right now. You say, are we going to hell in a handbasket? The answer is what? No. And we are not under the curse of the law. We are not there. We're not that generation of people that got our sins forgiven once a year. So 1 Peter 2:9 says this, but who are we, church? Are we a losing America? You know, no, we are a chosen generation, not a chosen land. See, this isn't about a land. This is about a people. In Israel, it was about land. It's still about land in Israel, but with us, it's about a people. No, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. There's not just one priest. You're in the priesthood, too. You're a holy nation. See, I can't believe that. You better believe it. This is a better covenant, a better testament, better promises. Now you're a holy nation. You're his own special people. Did we replace Israel? No, we haven't replaced them. But he says, you are my own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once was not a people, but you are now. What about the now? But you are now the people of God. Hallelujah. Who had not obtained mercy, but now. What about now? Well, I'll tell you about now. You have obtained mercy. You've received mercy and grace. You say, how about this horrible, horrible, nasty world we live in? You're right. We're absolutely living in a fallen world full of lawlessness. All the demonic activities and the spiritual wickedness and high places. Oh, yes, all of that and all the corruption and the darkness and the wickedness. And it's no longer safe to walk the streets at night in most cities. We know and we understand all that. And how many criminals are being released from prison right now? Can you grasp that? How about the abortions and the homosexual marriages permitted and abort a baby at full term? All of these crazy things and the human trafficking and the crooked FBI and the crooked DOJ and the crookedness that's at the top of the political realm. It's just so lawless. It is so awful. But that's them. And this is us. Last Wednesday, I spoke a message called You and They. I wish I'd have had this then. See, that then, the judgment is coming. Oh, it's going to come. Is America cursed? No. Is judgment going to come? Yes. On who? On the godless and the lawless. But how about you? How about me? How about the church? No. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. Mm-hmm. We're a holy nation. We're a special people. No. Not a special people. His special people. He said, you're my own special people. I love them. So you go tell everybody, he says. I want you to take this message of how I brought you out of darkness and brought you into marvelous light. See, that will shake somebody's tree. You know this is all about the shaking, don't you? So you see, the people of the world, they're getting all right now. They're getting a little scared, and they're getting a little anxious, and they're getting a little nervous about the whole thing. So they're beginning to run to people like us to say, what's all this about? And you may not know, Maybe you say, I don't know the Roman road to salvation, and I don't have many scriptures memorized. It isn't about that. You've got to share what you do know. And that's where God brought you from. How you came from out there here. How did you get free from drugs? How did you get free from alcohol? How did you get free from perversion? How did you get freed up from pornography? And I'm telling you today, you better get right or get left, and that includes you at home too. Because Jesus is coming sooner than we think. We're seeing all this come to pass. Now the politicians, they've changed the laws of God. So many things. Not only to mention how they changed the laws of marriage, changed the laws of abortion many times, but I believe it's going to be overturned again. That now they can even abort at full term. Just absolutely hideous. The things that our governor has passed about the perversion and pedophilia and all of these laws that are just, they're not laws, they're crazy. It's looselessness, it's lawlessness, if that's a word. Every day, listen, I was in the rest home with my mother for 2.5 years. And I went down there to make sure she was taken care of because she was way overweight. She was blind and she couldn't see anything. And so many of the people were very good that worked there. But sometimes the little CNAs would just come and her table would be over here and they would set her breakfast over here on this table. Well, she couldn't see it. She's spilling all over. And if she got it, she might spill it in the floor. So every morning at 7 o'clock, I would be there with her to make sure that she got her breakfast. And I'd help her and I'd pull the table over and sit there and talk with her neighbor there and be with them for about 30 minutes or 45 an hour before I got to work. Then I'd go back at 10 just to make sure she was okay, make sure she was taken care of. Linda would go at noon and make sure she got her lunch. And I'll be forever grateful to you, Linda. Make sure that she was able to eat her lunch. I would check on her when I left the office, and I'd go back at 3 to check on her. Linda and I would share the dinner sometimes. We'd go down at dinner because I'd go back at 9 o'clock or so, 8 or 9, to make sure she was tucked in. Because one time I went, she was laying on the blue mattress. I didn't want to see my mama laying on that. I didn't mean to go into all that, but I guess I said that to say, and I wanted to make sure when she got to where she wasn't talking much and she was sleeping probably more than she was talking, that they didn't start giving her morphine. Dolph must not know what morphine means. Morphine has become a killer to seniors. It's become a killer to disabled people. I walked into rooms when I was over there, one lady that used to come to church, and she was there and she was getting close to death, but her hour was not yet because she still had a lot of breath. And I had just been in her room that day at noon. And I knew she wasn't passing. She still had a lot of breath. I go back at around 5 o'clock and one of the family members came out, said, could you come and pray with mom? I said, sure. And so I went in and she was getting low. But she still had too much breath. And in about 30 minutes, mom was like that. Those nurses ran out, and of course they upped the morphine. I'm not saying that to scare anybody. I'm just saying you've got to watch over your parents. You pay attention to what's going on in this age. You are that chosen person. You are the people of God, and God will give us wisdom to know the difference. Now listen, you say, well, I'm not in the medical field, man. I don't know. I'm not a good voice. Well, I'm not either. But we depend on the Holy Spirit. And if you have ever depended on the Holy Spirit, you better depend on Him right now. Whether you can hear His voice or not, He will lead you and He will guide you. I promise you, church. So make sure you learn how to depend on Him in this evil day. Yeah, judgment is on the world, but the remnant is redeemed. You and I are saved from all of this mess. All right, let me close with this. I want to go to chapter 10. Did I already? Oh, yeah, let me read chapter 10, please. 10, 16 through 23, and I'll start closing right here. Please pay attention because you really need to know this. I pray you're jotting down these scriptures. Most of you already know them. You've studied the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, the Old Testament days, the Old Covenant days. This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. And then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Just come to me. See, all the people out there doing all these lawless deeds, he said, I'll forgive you too. I'll bring you in as the redeemed. You could just be pure and perfect as though you never did anything. Verse 17, and then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I'll remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God. We've got a high priest over the house of God, and I am so happy about that, and you should be happy that we have a high priest over this house of God. Thank you, Marty. Because I drove past, I live by Holy Cross, not to offend anybody. So sad. I drive down, and here these people are lined up. I mean, not just this week where the weather was cool, but in three digits, 110 degree weather. These poor people were lined up from here out to the street over by Joe's Market. Social distanced. 6 feet between them. You know what they were doing? Waiting to get in to see the priest on the side door. There was a black veil. There was a curtain. And those poor people would get up to that curtain. And they'd go up the steps and they would bow on their knees and repent of their sins to that priest. We drove by one day, and I told the kids, they said, what are they doing? And I told them, and Parker said, Nana, you need to go tell them. You need to go tell them they don't have to do that. It's too hot outside, Ainsley says. They can go to Jesus. We've got a high priest over the church. We can go anytime. And look at verse 23. Said, no, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full conscience of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as some do, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. So much more as you see the day approaching. Oh, church, he said, this covenant I will make with them then. When? Right now? 2,000 years ago. And then he said, let the redeemed of the Lord say. Let the redeemed of the Lord say what? So we say so. This is not about the land. This is about a people. It's harvest time, and this is about bringing in the harvest. So be very mindful about who God brings in front of you this week. Who you meet at the grocery store, who comes by your house, if you suddenly just have an unexpected visit at the mailbox with the mailman or the mail lady. You've got to be very careful because there is a harvest and there's a shaking of this harvest. And I want to tell you, church, darkness is never going to get the upper hand today. I don't care how ugly, darkness is not going to have the upper hand. You say, well, the media is. No. The media's not gonna have the upper hand. They think they do right now. Google and Facebook and Twitter, they all think they've got it in the bag. They don't have, as my mama would say, they don't have squat. You know what that means. I could have said they don't have a pop, but I'm gonna say that. The media don't have anything. Oh, they have temporarily a little power, or a lot. But he said, you just let the redeemed of the Lord say so. This week, you know the story. They were voted, you know, the judge was going up. President was wanting to appoint the judge. And they all were talking about constitutional rights and the Bill of Rights. And oh, we learned a lot about the Constitution and the First Amendment and the 14th Amendment, and the Second Amendment and all these. I loved hearing about it. And I thought when I was preparing this, wow, we don't just have constitutional rights. We've got biblical rights. We've got high priest rights. Man, we've got all kinds of the Bill of Rights. We've got great promises. And this word is our Constitution, church. This is it. This is it. Woo! He gave us bigger and better promises and covenants by his blood. And I'll tell you this. Jesus did what Moses, Solomon, the law could never do, because Jesus said, I became the law. I am the law. So don't be talking to me about what's going to happen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. See, this blood, this new covenant, it has forgiveness in it. It has healing in it. Oh, yeah, yeah. Forgiveness and deliverance and healing. And protection. The Greek word is sozo. Just call on the sozo that belongs to you. Your Bill of Rights. Your promises. Jesus and the disciples. Can I tell you this? Jesus and the disciples. New Testament? You know what? They didn't teach 2 Chronicles 7:14. They didn't go back there and say, if my people will repent, if my people will turn from their wicked ways, if my people. They didn't even go there. And that was a sacrifice of animals. That was for that day. That was dispensationally speaking. They didn't teach that. Here's what Jesus taught in Luke 10, verse 19. Luke 10, 19, he said, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That's what I give you. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Not COVID-19 or the evil plots of the wicked, including the media and darkness and wickedness in high places. So you tell the devil, church, not today, devil. Come on, stand on your feet and say, not today, devil. This is a new day. Because I am delivered, I am saved, I'm forgiven, I am healed, I am protected, I am blessed, and I've been redeemed. Let the living Lord, let the people of God say so. Woo! Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Woo! So when he comes at you and he says, you're not going to make it through this, what are you going to say? You just say, so. Media's gonna get this. Oh no, Google's a big company. Oh no, woo! Did you see what Twitter did? Did you hear what Facebook did? So, do you know who I am? Do you know who you're talking to? You're talking to the redeemed of the Lord. I'm not one of them, I'm one of these. I believe very soon they're gonna look at church and say, there goes one of them. Oh, let them say it. Let them say, there they go. They're one of them. They're one of them. They're the redeemed of the Lord. Say so. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, somebody better say so. Woo. Father, thank you for this mighty word. Jesus, we receive the word. Lord, we're not coming against, Lord, the word of the Old Testament. It is yea and it is amen. But you said, I've got a better way. You said, I've got a better testament. You said, I've got a better covenant. And so, Lord, we receive that today. We're not going to talk about that. We have been forgiven. We are washed. We are cleansed. I can't ask you to forgive me for George Washington's sins or somebody else's sins. My brother's got to get his own sins forgiven. My sister better get her own sins forgiven. My sins, I've asked you today. I'll ask you tonight to wash me, though I'm washed. We're washed by the blood of the Lamb. Come on, church, you're washed, you're cleansed. And if you're not, go to God and turn and repent. We still do that. It's the same thing. I'm just saying that we're under the new law, and if you're forgiven, you're forgiven. Okay, if you're washed, you're washed. If you're cleansed, you're cleansed. So be free and be washed and be whole. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is anyone in here today say, Pastor, I'm not living right. I'm not where I used to be with the Lord. I once lived so close to Him, but I don't feel like I'm there anymore. I feel like I'm with they. I started veering off a little bit. I got way out here and I started doing this and started doing that and joined myself to the wrong people. You at home, please watch who you run with. Don't hang out with people that don't know Jesus. Why would you do that? He said, what right do you have with people of Baal? You'll start veering off if you do that. Hallelujah. Anybody today? All right, I'm in a bunch of, in here with a bunch of redeemed people. The redeemed, the Lord has said so, and God said so, and has blessed you. So you be blessed in the Lord. Let me bless you as you go today. Walk in the Word. Keep these scriptures. Read the book of Hebrews again. Father, I bless your precious people. May you be blessed. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause His face to shine upon you. May He be gracious to you, turn His face towards you, and give you peace in Jesus' name. May He bless your home, your marriage, your pocketbook, and all that pertains to you. For you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a mighty generation. So I speak blessing, power, and anointing upon your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Ah, hallelujah. Well, God bless you guys. Thank you for being here today. Make sure and make your way to our guests.